Father in heaven, we thank you again for the precious word of God we're fixing to open. Thank you for preserving it for our particular day, dear Father. And we're mindful that without this book, we would know very little about you. And dear Father, that's what's wrong with the world today. They're trying to approach God without the information of God. And the Bible is the only place we get that. If we don't believe the Bible, we might as well hang it up. We don't know who God is. And so I pray tonight you'd help us as we grow in grace and knowledge and look at this subject, very needful, Lord, especially after this past week and just hearing about 2020 or how Barbara Walters and talking about heaven and talked about heaven and everything in this world except biblically. Not one person we see that was approached about what the Bible had to say. Thus saith the Lord about heaven. And so I pray tonight you'd help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Take your Bible, if you will, and turn with me to Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, I want to read down about verse 18, and actually there's 14 verses here, but I'm not going to read them all. I'm going to read a few of them, then I'm going to skim over some and get into the message, because I really want to for us to get this tonight. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe with all my heart, if I ever preach the message that need to be preached for our day, the message I'm going to preach tonight is that message. Because we're living in a day of false gods, false worship, and the world blindly is following after it, thinking everything's okay as long as a person's sincere in what they believe. First chapter of Romans, though, tells us, as we begin reading in verse 18. Now, hear me. Verse 18 is the door of God's courtroom as he puts this world in his courtroom on trial. And he's given some information here about himself, about them. I want you to notice something about this. When we think about man, there's a tendency to feel today that man started out ignorant and came up through the evolutionist way of life, and he started out low and got higher and higher and finally came to the place that he's the creature he's at now. That's not the way the Bible puts us. Right. Man started off the most intelligent being there was other than angels as far as this earth is concerned and as far as creation is concerned. Man started out with great intelligence. And here, as you look at these few verses of Scripture, you're going to see verses 18 through 20, God shows how intelligent he was as we read these verses. He said, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men." The ungodliness here, the word against means those who deny and ignore and resist him. He says, God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The word hold means to hold down or to suppress the truth, he says again, in unrighteousness. In other words, when a man says something is righteous and some is unrighteous, these people suppress righteousness and hold up unrighteousness. And in that unrighteous holding up, feel like this is makes them okay in the sight of the God that they're trusting. He also says in verse 19, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has showed it unto them. He said, listen, this wrath that God's revealed from heaven against this ungodliness can be seen because God had made it known to man. Man knew God exists because man was an intelligent being to realize this couldn't happen from just anything. It didn't just happen. There had to be a mind behind it. And God reasons from his word to us who should be able to reason what God has to say because we're made in his image. And he goes on, he says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, been understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they're without excuse." He said the invisible things, you heard me say before, the things you cannot see as far as out in space and otherwise, things you can't even see in this room that you'd have to have a microscope or some means to see beyond what we can see because our eyes don't pick up things unless it reflects light and microscope. When things are so small and cells and things like that, but we can't pick it up with the physical eye. You have to have something to magnify it. But God says that they're without excuse. So this intelligent being is the height he can be in God's sight. But then you see something happen. The next thing you see, verse 21 to 23, that they become ignorant, willfully ignorant of what God has said. And then you move down, he says in 21, because that when they knew God, they glorify him not as God. They were intelligent beings, as human beings, but they became ignorant. Why? Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. But instead of that, it turned around to the elements of men. Neither were they thankful. They turned around to the elements of nature, but became vain in their imagination, foolish in their heart, their heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, God said they became fools. And they changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like an incorruptible man, birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. And so this intelligent being became ignorant of his own willful mind in spite of what God had said. And then we see verse 24 to 27, he began to indulge in the things that God said he should not do. Wherefore God gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worship the serving creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. And then in verse 26, he said, for this cause God gave them up to affection for their women. They changed the natural use of that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of women, burning their lust one towards another. Men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meat. I don't care what this senator did yesterday or last day before yesterday. It's wrong.
That's right.
I just say that. I know we're on the upstream. You can never, but it's wrong. How do I know that? Amen. Just read it. Now, this is New Testament too, by the way. This is not all. So well, it's an Old Testament just for the old saints. No, this is New Covenant. Amen. We're talking about here. And then we see after the indulgence in verse 18, 28 through 32, God give them up to a depraved mind. So here I want to speak to you seven step that leads to paganism. Seven steps that lead to paganism. We need to understand what's going on. I read where there's a fire station at a certain location, and one day the fireman was out washing his fire truck, and a little girl came up, and she had a wagon, a red wagon, and she had a ladder on the side of that thing, and she had a hose in the middle of the wagon curled up, and she had a fireman's hat on. She had a dog pulling that wagon by the collar. And she had a cat in front of it that she had tied the dog to the dog collar to the cat's tail. And the fireman saw her, and she went out and began to talk to her and said, man, you got a nice fire truck there, young lady. She said, thank you, sir. He said, you know, I think, though, she noticed that how you got them tied up there, I think it'd be a lot better if you'd to run that fire truck better if you'd go ahead and tie that rope to the cat's collar along with the dog's collar. You probably could move a little faster. And she said, sir, I reckon you're right, but I can't do that. She said, and he said, well, why not? He said, if I tie that cat's to the collar, the wagon by her collar, I wouldn't have a siren. So you got to understand what's behind the scene. She had that cat tied to the dog's collar, and when he went after her, I guess it was it. Anyhow, steps that lead to paganism. When we come into this world, we know nothing about God. We start learning. As an individual, if we don't meet Christ at the cross, we had nothing except to paganism, heathenism and paganism. The difference between you and the rest of the world, you and I who are saying the rest of the world, is that there came a time that we came face to face with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Somehow or another, someone would burden about us. We heard it in a message, we heard it in a song, we heard it someone on door-to-door visitation, and we heard a message about the Lord Jesus Christ and to do what is the gospel. So there was a time that we were face to face with the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we face the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, this is telling us about a birth. A spiritual birth in John chapter 3, where we, when we trust Christ, where God births us into the family of God, and 2 Peter tells us we have the divine life of God in that new creation. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. But I'll keep going in that a little bit this morning. What took place at that time, if you look at the, I was thinking that well, he got it. He's going to get in some of my message tonight, but he just touched just enough to get your mouth watered if you listen to it, and it's good. So here, Here you find that he's talking about putting off the old man and putting on the new man when we come to know Christ as Savior. So what happens is we find ourselves at the cross, and when we trust Christ as Savior, we begin to move more towards living in that life as God manifests himself in us, and we become the image more like Christ so the world can see Christ in us. But if a person rejects this Christ, they don't go in direction towards Christ. They move in the opposite direction to heathenism and paganism. And they don't even know it. Because the only thing can lead us out of that is Jesus Christ. Amen. And you reject him and you don't have what you need to get us out of it. And so this new man is the regenerated man, is distinguished from the old man in the scriptures. And as a new man, having the divine partakers of the divine nature and the life of God. 2 Peter 1 verse 4. And so this new man is Jesus Christ in us. Paul said this in Galatians chapter 2. He made this statement in Galatians chapter 2. And I'm going to hurry as quick as I can. I'm not going to, because this right here is so important that we get it to read our times today. The reason why the other night everybody who heard anything about heaven is as confused as can be today if they don't know what the scripture says about it. Because everybody, how can it be so many different? If God is God of anything, he's going to do something one way instead of a number of ways. And we think because man's in a lost condition, well, God just loves us so much, no matter how we try to get there, we'll get there. We'll climb there somehow or another. No, you won't climb there. You'll be birthed into the family of God, and you'll never get there. Now, here he goes further, and he says, Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And how's this process work in Galatians chapter 4, verse 19? Here's what Paul said to the church at Galatia. My little children, of whom I travail in birth again until Christ. Watch this. My little children, of whom I prevailed in birth again. Watch what he says. Until Christ be formed in you. You see, we're made in the image of God, but we lost our state when Adam sinned. Now, we have been born into the family of God, and God has reestablished us through redemption. And now is forming Christ in us, not the way we want him to be, but the way he wants it to be through the Word of God. And if they don't, if people can't see Christ in us, they'll never see a Christian. Somebody says, I am a Christian, don't believe in Christ. Hogwash, you might as well hang that up. There's no way you can be a Christian without Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, unless Christ has seen us, they'll not see what a Christian is either. And so he says he's formed. Christ has been formed in you. We're in the image of God, being transformed into something that God is doing for us. It's the gospel that attacks us when we face our situation before God and Calvary, and understand to trust him is to be growing in grace and knowledge, moving towards God. To reject him is to be going in the opposite direction, heathenism, paganism, sooner or later. You may not call it that, but that's exactly what's going to happen through life as you go through life. So one is towards God, the other is away from God. And away from God, the final act is what we see here in this act of paganism that Paul is talking about to the church at Rome. Now, let's look at these steps for a few minutes that leads to paganism. In Romans chapter 1, verse 19 through 22, or 32, these whole verses here, God's indictment begins with God's condemnation of a heathen in his courtroom. The unbeliever, this is where he said you're at. Here's why you're there. Here's what's going to happen because you're there. For the believer, he goes through the rest, and we see that our sins have been forgiven. If you look at chapters 1 through 8, Paul deals with three themes in these chapters. He first deals with sin and comes up with chapter 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then he deals with salvation and sanctification together, been saved and been set apart. And then you get over to chapter 8, and he begins to talk about glorification, which is what happens. We come into this world, we face Calvary, we face the gospel, we hear the gospel, we trust Christ, then we see that our sins have been forgiven, we've been saved, we've been set apart, and now we're looking for that day of glorification when God removes us from this body and gives us a glorified body. So sin, salvation, and sanctification, and then glorification. These steps are upward in Christ towards God. When we see our sins, we trust Christ. Now our steps are upward towards God. It's not that we started as an animal and evolved to a man. It's that fact in our highest intelligence, God has let us see who He is. We accepted that, and now He's moving us higher. Because one day we're going to get a glorified body and be where He is at and never have to worry about what we have to deal with in this life. But He's moving us higher towards Him. But when one rejects Christ as Savior, he's moving in opposite direction. He doesn't know, she doesn't understand that, but that's what's happened. And things become foolish to them because that's what God said in Romans chapter 1 when He said, professing themselves to be wise, God says they become. It wasn't they were, but they become fools. F-O-O-L-S. And you see that in verse 22. God said, I can read that and feel good. I can read that and be cussed out. It doesn't make any difference to me because I can read what God says. God says they profess themselves to be wise when they turn down God. They have all the reasons why they do that, but He said they become as fools in life. To be transformed into the image of God moves us in towards God. So these steps are upward in Christ as we move closer to God. But without Christ, we are not moving upward. We're not moving closer. Sometimes you hear people say, you say, well, do you know Jesus? They say, no, but I'm just as close as God is in, and they begin to name somebody. If you're not saved, you're not. I'm sorry, but that's your opinion. No, the Bible teaches us, first of all, that you have to be in Christ in the age of grace. See, we're in the dispensation of grace. We know what it is for the last 2,000 years to trust the one who came and died on Calvary. Now, if we was in the dispensation of law, or if we were in the dispensation of innocent back in Adam's day, we'd have to look at life according to the dispensation that God speaks to us about. But we're in the dispensation of grace. One day, we'll move from that into dispensation to the kingdom of God when Jesus comes back again. God's going to deal different when Jesus comes back and sets up His kingdom here as He's dealing now. Because it won't be through faith. Then you'll see Jesus Christ as He is. And every saint of God that's gone on to be with Him in a glorified body will be here during the kingdom age and millennial reign. Amen. So you see, ladies and gentlemen, it's a matter. It is not that we're so smart. It's just the fact we believe God. And the world thinks, well, you know, because I'm educated, that's all I need. No, you need the Lord. I don't care if you're not educated or if you are educated. We need the Lord. And the Bible certainly tells us that. So these steps are upward towards God, but with Christ, without Christ, it leads to paganism. Now, there's three things here that he talks about here in these verses. That is, and that, first of all, in verse 18 through 20, these people who could see and could know there's got to be a supreme being because what they saw declared He was there, but they were willfully blinded. They willfully refused to accept what God said about Himself. And then we see once they were willfully blind in verse 22 through 21 through 22, they deliberately rejected the truth. They deliberately, they willfully were blinded to the things of God. They refused to accept it. And then God said they deliberately reject the truth. And then you see in verse 23 through 25, once they deliberately reject the truth, the wicked belief becomes clothed in a religious nature, leads to heathenism and paganism. Because man is built in a way to worship something. If he doesn't worship the true God, he's going to worship something. So if he's not moving towards God in Christ at Calvary from there on, he's moving away from God, and he's going to make his own God. And the further he gets in heathenism, the more he's going to make his idols, and he's going to worship something than the true and living God. A wicked person believes, clothed in religious nature, this leads to a bizarre behavior in life. You know why we see in such bizarre behavior in our day, behavior today in our day? It's because man is getting wickeder and wickeder and wickeder. And he does what he feels to do to feel good in himself and acts more like heathens and also pagans than ever before. The only thing that can change that is Jesus Christ. He's the only thing. And when we preach Him in our day, people are calling that hate crimes. You know why? Because Jesus Christ makes a difference when it comes to what Christianity is and what the rest of the world believes. Whatever they believe, it makes a difference. So let's look at these two for a minute. If I don't get through, we'll finish it another time. Because I'm not going to hurry this. I'm talking about steps that lead to paganism. It's so obvious to a child of God if the Bible becomes that which we get our truth from. In fact, this is the only thing you can really trust for truth. Only thing you can really trust. Look at, first of all, 18 through 20, when he talks about willful blindness. I read these already. The heathen know that there is a God. They had started out intelligent to know that God did exist. And yet they seek ways to appease their anger deities. Instead of accepting God as who he is, they began through unrighteousness to declare and hold, suppress the truth of God, and in turn come with their own thinking because they're so intelligent. We're not like the animals, even though they claim to be fun. You know, I never understood that. Why would a person who says, we're not like the animals now, but we came from an animal? Well, if you came from an animal, you must be some like an animal. And you know what? The world that believes you came from an animal also believes that we were animals. We were not animals. I've got news for this world, ladies and gentlemen. God took specific care to make us. He took care. He didn't just call us into existence. He made Adam from the dust of the ground. May I rehearse in your ears? And blew into him the breath of life. And the Bible says he became a living soul in the image of Almighty God. And so are we. We may not show it a lot of times, but we are. And the only thing can restore that to the place that the world can see God is in us is Jesus Christ. Without him, folks, there's no hope. There's no hope for the individuals. There's no hope for this world. There is no hope for any other religion without Jesus Christ. And if, listen, any other religion who said they believe in Jesus Christ would have to change their religion to Christianity, because he is the main one to us. God, they seek to appease their anger deities, and that's how they feel like that they do that. And since they create those deities themselves, they kind of control their own God anyhow. God witnesses is also seen in verse 19. He said this, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. These things that man sees, it's so out overwhelming. We've been on this little planet Earth and looked at the last 50 or 60 years that you could leave this planet and go into space somewhere or another. And now we've been able to probe thousands, millions of miles into space and see things with modern day technology. And we realize, hey, there's so much that man's never seen that's out there. And even until the day we die, we'll never see it. And until man, God comes and gets the church to never see it, until we go home to be with him, then we're going to see it like it really is. I believe that with all my heart. So God's witness is known to man, according to verse 19. And so as man laps more into sin, God's original source of truth was corrupted and perverted. The more he goes into sin, the more he corrupts and perverts the thing of God. He's over here's Calvary. He's moving away from God. He gets over here, but now he's so far off. It's not the word of God can't reach him, but he starts out with willful blindness, and because he's willfully blind, he's not listening to anything, any voice of God at all, until he gets to the place he's already hung up on his own gods, worshiping his own gods. And because he made the deity, he feels like, I can control him. And this feels better than believing in Christ, because I don't have to put up with all that stuff you Christians have to put up with. They don't understand. We don't have to put up with nothing. We don't. We need to live different. By the way, anybody in society ought to realize if you live different, it's going to be better. It's a lot better. Hey, it's a lot better to live sober than it is drunk. You're wealthier. You're healthier. You want me to name anything else? I mean, just think about the things that we look at today. Say, well, I just need that. I'll tell you, we need the Lord. Amen. We just need the Lord. The heathen know that there's a God. God witnessed to them. His witness is known. And God's witness is universal. Truth may have been dimmed and distorted, but it's still there. And it amazes me in how far a man laps into to heathenism or away from God. Back in Egypt's day, Osiris in Egypt showed belief in the spirit of good and evil. Even over here, there's a spirit of good and evil. Where do you get it at? I don't know, but they get it because they realize you need to understand there's some good things you need to live in society. There's some bad things you don't need to have in society and live a good life. So even the pagan looks like there's some good things in good and evil. And they begin to talk about good and evil. Why? They can see that good and evil is in the world, but they won't contribute to the God who's of this Bible. When I say to manifest it to us, when you talk about Satan, many times they won't believe in him as much as they, you know, either, it's not even talk about God. God manifests in this life to us through his word what is behind this, and they can't see it, but he gives us the understanding how to see it. So God's witness is universal. His witness is of creation. Man can learn from nature the truth of God's eternal power. Psalms 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Man can learn from nature the truth of God's eternal power. Nature points to an eternal, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent creator. It can show this great, wonderful, powerful, gigantic God. But ladies and gentlemen, hear me. When it does that, beyond this, nature's voice fails. He can't tell us anything else about him. We look and we're astonished at such a great God. But nature can't tell us any more about it other than what we see, the results of this God's hands as we try to look at things that are made. One person said, I get more good out of my soul out of a one glorious sunset than all the sermons that I've ever heard. I can see God's power in nature more than I can in a sermon. Wait a minute. There's more to God than just seeing his power of creation that you don't even believe to start with. Talking about the unsaved now. Man needs more than that. See, nature consists of roses and thorns. Nature consists of violets and vipers. There is not only the singing of the mockingbird in nature, but there is the bloody beak of the vulture. I've never seen it around here much until recently out in the fields. Thought I was there. A deer got hit and nobody came and got it. And I bet you there's 25 buzzards, I call them, came out there. And within about a week, that deer was gone. Of course, they didn't get him. I'm glad they ate him. It had a smell to it. But nobody got it. Most of the time, the governor come along, the county, somebody. But those buzzards had a feast day and night. They lay around out there. And even cars come by, wouldn't shoo them off. They just had that thing. But what I'm saying is, there's not only the mockingbird singing, but there's the beak of the bloody beak of the vulture. Yes, nature declares there is a God. That's what this is telling us. But ladies and gentlemen, listen to me. As it points to seasons and stars and sun and moon and planets and creation, it cries out, see his power. See how great this God is. But man needs more than that. And that's what Calvary shows us. Man needs a personal redeemer. Man needs a personal savior. And nature cannot satisfy that need. And that's what these verses are telling us. If you go and look at nature and don't accept the rest of the story, you'll find yourself moving from Calvary, not believing in unbelief. Nature knows nothing about forgiveness. Nature has a voice, but it has no heart. Nature has no solution to man's greatest problem. And I don't care what it is, America or the world, it's S-I-N, sin. That's the greatest problem that we have. Nature has no solution for that. Nature makes no mention of a Savior. But this book does. Don't even tell us who he is and what he's done. And intelligent, we can read that and understand how great this God is. But he tells us that we need a Savior. We need a Savior. God's Word tells us that. But because one is willfully blind and takes that great, powerful thing that God has given his image, the will of man, and in front of all of these facts, refused to accept the wonderful Savior who did so much for us, and therefore they walk away from it. And once you do that, once you walk away with willfully blindness, the next step is you'll deliberately begin to reject truth every time you hear it. And that's what the next verse of 21-22 said. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, Neither were they thankful, became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. This intelligent creature that God created his own image. Man has become a fool because he refuses to accept what God has said about him. There is no compromise between God's witness to himself in creation and his witness to himself in redemption. If you look over in John chapter 5, Jesus said this one day in John 5 verse 39. He said to those people that they search the scriptures. They didn't have the New Testament. The only thing they had is the Old Testament now. Search the scriptures. For in them you think you have eternal life. And they are they which testify me. Search the scriptures, for you know and think in them you have eternal life. They testify of me. But watch the next verse. And he said, but you will not come, and ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. Creation tells us about the work of his hands. But Calvary, hear me, praise be unto the name of the Lamb. Calvary records his heart. Creation shows his power, the works of his hand. When it talks about the heavens declare the glory of God and show his deferment, show his handiwork. God's light of creation may be dimmed at times, but it's always there. He's leaving man without excuse, and that's the reason he said they have no excuse, as you see in Romans chapter 1. Yet many still deny truth. And every time the truth is denied, they sink deeper into sin. And as they sink deeper into sin, they become atheistic in their thinking, which distorts the truth, and they become idolaters, because they're going to worship something. Satan's going to see to it the vacuum is filled if God's not filling it. When God doesn't feel that in us, that vacuum in us, then Satan will fill that vacuum, because God has given his creation of man the opportunity to know when God speaks to his heart. And if he refuses that, it's like tapping into us with the gospel. We're lost running our way. And God uses the gospel in the age of grace to tap into us, to get us to understand what he's done for us. And so therefore, becoming idolaters, they deliberately reject the truth. And then when they reject the truth, the third thing comes in. And that wicked belief leads to heathenism and also to paganism, verse 23 through 25. And he said it changed the glory of the incorruptible God into image made like an incorruptible man. And then you'd start beasts. You know why all you see these things? When man has a God and he wants to make something, he'll have a bird or have animal or have man or have something. He's got to be something fictitious to look at. He's made it up in his own mind, give it power, and he has no power whatsoever, but it gives him power. And verse 23 tells us that. And said, no, for God gave them up. Three times God said he gave these people up. He said he gave them up to their uncleanness through the lust that are in their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies. In verse 26, for God gave them up to a foul affections, for even the women to change the natural use they had. Verse 28, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. It's obvious God said there are certain things I will not tolerate, that I will give up. If that's what you want, you can have it. Hey, that sure will. There she is. Hit it. You want to enjoy it, but the result's not going to be the same. Your best results is to listen to what I have to say and let me help you practice it the best within your capabilities of practicing. So belief, wicked belief leads to heathenism. When man enthrone human reason and dethrone divine revelation, he'll worship his own ideas. He'll worship his own idols, which are man-made gods. To dethrone God in our thinking is disastrous. Without God, all learning, please hear this. Without God, all learning confirms one's unbelief. Without God, science and philosophy makes belief in God unnecessary, they say. They become irrational because they're thinking from their standpoint instead of God letting them step out where they're at and see what God has said himself. Psalm 14, verse 1, he says that they become corrupt. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Psalm 14, verse 1 says that in the Old Testament. And Paul said here, these people profess themselves to be wise, they become as fools. How do you reconcile those two verses together? God says, listen, a fool about me, in the sense of not believing me, has a corrupt mind. The corruption keeps it from coming in. And he says to them, they are corrupt, become corrupt, because the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They profess themselves wise, they become fools. Why? Because they're saying, there is no God. Father, I get up. There is no God. One woman said the other night, bless her heart, she didn't believe in anything. I don't know if you saw that. I didn't see, but I had, Brother Don, I had to turn it off, brother. I get angry. I'm sorry. When I see things like that, it's not that I don't know too much. I don't know a whole lot, but thank God I know enough to know most of those people are wrong, if not all of them. And this woman said, yeah, no, you just live your life, you die, and that's it. You live a good life here, and that's your heaven. You live a bad life here, and that's your hell. Boy, she got a surprise coming. That's what she said. Did anybody see that? Did you see it, sister? Amen. If you're going to look at anything, that'd been worthwhile looking at to show you what the world's thinking today about heaven. Maybe not, though, if you're not strong enough to believe what God has to say about it. Because it can be very damaging. I guarantee it did more damage to the world than it did any good. Because it went to everybody. From the Hindu to everybody. They said something. There's a thousand different types of beliefs around the world at that time. Sweat. Boy, I've got salty blood and sweat. I'm telling you. It got in my eye and burnt like fire. Without God's learning confirms one's beliefs. When you get there, then they become irrational. When science and philosophy makes a belief in God unnecessary, it becomes irrational. Then intellect becomes conceited and unintelligent foolishness. It's obvious that when a person reasons that there is no God, he has arrived at a false conclusion. As a matter of how logical his thinking is, no matter how it is, no matter how logical or theological he thinks that his thinking is, he's arrived to a false conclusion. In the Saturday Evening Post back in July the 3rd, 1965, a British scientist stated, and he said this, and I quote him, "It seems certain to me that life resulted from chemical events." Is he got, boy, he's smart, isn't he? We came from chemical events. He said, "I feel certain that in another decade or two, we will be able to create life. Therefore, I find it no longer necessary to believe in God." That was 47 years ago this past Tuesday. It ain't been two or three decades, been over four decades. And God's still on the throne, isn't it? Isn't that an amazing thing? In fact, I don't know that God's alive or not, but I'd hate to have wrote that and 47 years later find that didn't happen what he said when you, unless he'd get saved. Notice another thing. The steps denied, then distort truth, become atheists in thinking, idolatry. That's what we see in verse 22 down through verse 23. Notice the word fool again. He says, they became fools. The word fool, we get our word moron from this word. Education and culture and advancement do little to free men from idolatry. The problem we have in this life is spiritual. It is not academically. We have the academics, plenty of that. The problem we got is spiritual. And I've got about three or four more minutes. Idolatry, deepest root is Satan. But in modern education today, people try to ignore Satan as much as Christ. You should know, an educated person don't believe in Satan anymore than do Christ. And if they talk about it, it's more like Santa Claus. It's not really a reality. It's just a figure. In India, the cow's divinity is received by deluded people. They cannot feed all their people, yet millions of cows wander around competing for food, damaging crops everywhere. And when a person makes an idol, he becomes a slave to that idol. And I had a picture in India, they was talking to these people about heaven and walking around downtown, and cows just wandering around downtown like they're shopping like the people were. Did you see that? Just wandering around loose. I remember in Benson years ago, before I came along, I used to read that they used to have fences at the roads that had gates at the roads, and people had cattle, and they closed the gates of Benson back really years ago, before my time, that you couldn't get in and out without open the gate. They put gates to keep cows out of Benson. But in India, they got cows wandering everywhere. Why? They feel like it might be a relative. It's foolish to us, but that's what they sincerely believe that. It might be a relative because they believe in reincarnation. When a person makes an idol, you come to slave that idol. And turning from God, they turned themselves over to natural devices of Satan. And God said he gave them up three times, verse 24, 26, and 28. Moral perversion produces wholesale sin. Mental perversion gives rise to wickedness. When you have a rise to wickedness, you have a willful blindness, you deliberately reject truth, then there's nothing but a downward spiral away from God. That then debased nature, human character comes into existence. Unrighteousness, a wicked, malicious, covetous, envious, deceitful, God-hater, proud, despiteful. No natural affection is what the Bible declares. This away from God. You debase human conduct, debase human conversation, which is way of life. Debase human companionship. All of this leads to bizarre conduct. Bizarre behavior. In God's indictment here, in verse 20, it says these folks, whoever they are without excuse. You think, then somebody said, well, when I get before God, he'll understand. He says you'll be without excuse. There's no such a thing that thinking God's going to override just because he loves it. He's already showed us how much he's loved. Look at Calvary. Look at what Jesus Christ has done. He shows us how much he loves us. Verse 28, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. In verse 26, God gave them up to vile affections. Verse 24, God gave them over to an uncleanness through the lust of their own heart to dishonor their own bodies. These are steps leading to paganism or steps leading closer to God in Jesus Christ. Willful blindness, deliberate rejection of truth. Wicked belief becomes clothed in religion. And what these steps are. Here's Calvary. We receive Christ as Savior, be born into the family of God, and we move closer to God, even to the place that he gives us, gets us home in a glorified body one day. Reject him, and we run, and that person will begin to move away from God. And to the voice gets less and less and less and less and less. And thank God the voice can still hear it no matter where they go, if they will willfully accept what God is saying. So the steps leads again to heathenism, bizarre behavior, paganism. And that's the reason God said, folks, if I understand, the reason God said to Timothy, this world will wax worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. That means it's a lot worse than now when I was a boy. It's a lot worse than now than it was when my dad was a boy. It's waxing worse and worse. You know why? Because this former in Romans 1 is true. You meet Christ at Calvary and get born again, and things will change, and you move towards God. You reject him, and you move away from God, and the further away you go, built in is that vacancy that's there. You will make a God to fill that vacancy, or Satan will give you one to fill that. He doesn't care what it is. He knows only one way, and he's not going to give you that way. He's not a promoter of the gospel. But he give you anything else you want to satisfy, and I say you, this world wants, and it leads them further from God. So can you not see why the Lord must come back? Amen. No wonder Jesus said when he comes back, he's going to find faith. Because it gets worse and worse. And ladies and gentlemen, please, please, we need to pray. Because our young kids coming up, they're going to get to the place that if the Lord don't come back for the church, they may have children never hear the word of God like you and I have privilege of hearing it. Because if you got any age on you, you know the word of God was preached more 50 years ago like it should than it is today. Even people, there was a time when a church put out there that they were a gospel preaching church. You can believe that. You can't believe that today. They like to preach everything except Jesus Christ and call it the gospel. The God, good news of getting rich. The good news of getting, you know how it is, having good health. Thank God there's good news in Christ for that. But the good news is Jesus came and died for our sins and was buried, rose again the third day, ascended again on the 10th day, I believe it was, on the Mount of Olives. I better get that right. Let me look in the book of Acts. I got to close. My mind went blank. I thought it was, I had the tenth day on my mind. What did I have that? Acts chapter 1. Yeah, it wasn't, because what happened was Jesus went back, applied the blood, and came back. And then 10 days later, he was out on the Mount of Olives walking with the apostles, and he rose to go to be back to heaven. They saw him descend back into heaven. And he's coming again one of these days to receive it. Father, I want to thank you again for the blessed word of God. Thank you again, Lord, for the mentality to understand it. We're certainly frail at times. Lord, there's so much we learned in the last 52 years. I wish I could just bring it back like a recorder, but I can't. It's there, and sometimes in adverse circumstances, you bring it to mind where you can go back and read it again. But I thank you so much for this book you preserve for our day. Lord, as we leave here tonight, we rejoice in the fact we met you at Calvary. And now we're moving in grace and knowledge as Christ develops in us and God makes us more like him day by day. He's the image. That God is conforming us to. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, Romans 12:2. Not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind that we might know what is that good, perfect, accepted will of God. We thank you for that. Now honor yourself this week as we leave these premises to serve you. Lord, help us realize that we have the information. Someone needs to be talked to this week out of love. We don't talk to show people that we know everything. We don't know very little, but we know you. And Lord, we can go to this book and open this book and sit down rationally with someone and talk with them intelligently about what you've said. And if you give us that audience, I don't have to beat someone over the head with this. I don't have to declare them into hell because they don't trust the Lord. I can do that from the pulpit. But Lord, on an individual basis, they're going to be trying to help that individual see with the intellect that God has given them what Jesus Christ did and be faced with Calvary and encouraged to trust Jesus so they move closer to you, not away from you. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen.